Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of The Huntsman, Winter's War.
I watched the second half of The Huntsman, Winter's War.
And this is the other half.
Mason, make it
Days of Mason. What are you fucking doing in here, man? We can't be disrespecting the memory of Mason.
Okay, sorry. Let's try this again. The dog days of Mason. He's Mason me crazy. He's Mason you crazy. Because, man... This movie sucks so much, dude.
I actually kind of like the opening of it a little bit.
Dude. How?
Because it's so cliche and like by the numbers. It kind of reminds me of like a mummy movie almost a little bit.
Oh, like a bad mummy
like
movie,
a bad
right?
mummy movie. Like, yeah. Like the Scorpion King.
The Scorpion King. Okay, so you're just like, ooh, yeah, I like being a kid
this
again.
This is just straight up and simple. I will say, there's a lot of issues. Biggest issue of the movie is that there's too many fucking people hanging out amongst the two of them. I don't like these fucking dwarves. Can't stand them.
Like Nick Frost is a dwarf.
I like Nick Frost. I don't like the other dwarf. The other dwarf is lame.
Oh, he's got like a mohawk or whatever.
And they both have mohawks, but yeah. And I also don't like the weird makeup that they put on them, which looks very like, the best way I can describe it is like Cloud Atlas-y. Like
yeah. It's a little much. You're like, you're really trying to change someone's whole appearance. Huh?
Yeah, almost like you're trying to change like their ethnicity.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't like them. And I think that, oh my God, basically Elsa, the character that is the Ice Queen.
Oh,
she's
Freya.
Lame as hell.
Who's Emily Blunt?
Emily Blunt. She's lame as fuck.
She feels so miscast.
100%. Because she's not scary.
She's
not threatening.
Scary. She just kind of looks bored.
Yeah. And, like, which she probably is.
Yeah.
I will say, I enjoyed Chris Hemsworth in this quite a bit.
Do you like his chemistry with
Sarah? Lack of chemistry. He can have chemistry with anybody, but what is her name? I don't even remember what her name is.
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain. Who's doing... one of the worst Irish, Scottish accents. Apologies,
it's terrible.
It's so bad. Yeah. So there's a lot to hate about this movie. Admittedly, I thought Chris Hemsworth carried this movie on his beautiful golden god of shoulders.
Sure.
Basically,
that's fine. But, I understand that.
But it wasn't a good movie. No. Also, the random like Liam Neeson like.
Liam Neeson's in this?
Liam Neeson is the narrator of the movie.
Oh, yeah. He's in it at the very end for me. And I'm like,
he keeps showing up in my half the movie. I'm like, this could be explained just visually.
But
I don't
also,
know why we need him.
We are watching a sequel to a movie we never saw. One which Kristen Stewart was in and starred. And
we are
she
watching
was like,
a prequel / sequel because the movie actually begins before the events of the previous movie.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then whatever.
But yeah, you're right. Kristen Stewart.
No longer in this movie. Didn't want
they
to be
don't
part
even
of it.
Show a goddamn. There's one shot of her from behind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
She wanted nothing to do with this. And they're like, well,
I don't blame her.
I guess we'll make another movie because it made money, I guess.
And then what's her fucking name is in it too for like 5 seconds? Who's also in the previous movie?
Charlize Theron.
And yeah, it's just it's funny because it feels like everyone, like nobody really wants to be a part of this movie. It feels like they're trying to like start a franchise.
Yeah, I mean,
failing.
It's fantasy, and you know, it was a time when like Game of Thrones was still like,
oh,
cool,
you think that's what they're
everything.
Trying to appeal to?
Maleficent was like a big hit, so I'm imagining those are kind of like, we're kind of just going to bounce off this, but they ain't got no juice.
No.
And to be fair, for our Mason boy, he was one of three writers on
yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah.
So I don't know how much of his actual creative work was really put into this.
Yeah,
It wasn't like Chernobyl where he like produced it and had like creator credit and shit. It's definitely like
there's not a lot of like technical like knowledge in this that he has to bring into this.
This
movie,
is definitely the most like thing that feels like a Hollywood movie to me
100%.
In all the bad ways. Like it just is too many people writing.
Yeah,
everything feels so safe.
Yeah,
beautiful looking movie. I really like the way it looks.
I thought this director did an incredible job, and I looked it up, and he's made like nothing else.
Yeah,
mostly music videos and commercials, which is like
sure,
good for him. I'm
sense.
Glad
it's
he's kind of
like a Zack Snyder, where it's like you look good, but yeah, like, what's here? Not a lot.
Gave him a good script, he might be able to do something cool with it. I thought some of the sets looked really nice.
Yeah, I think some of the sets look good. I think it was a like the interpretation of kind of like, I don't know, dark fantasy was very, it felt like very cool, but it felt like Blizzard in a way where it's
to
like
me, sorry, yeah,
where it's like very sanitized, but also was like, it's still pretty impressive looking.
To me, it felt like, not like visually, but like the way that the story was working out and the way the characters are written, it felt very like Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, I've had a budget.
Yeah, but like the way it was written, where it's like, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is just Elsa. And then you see like Sarah And she's like a redhead who is really good at archery and is Scottish. I'm like, okay, so that's just Merida. Like, yeah. Then you have like Snow White off in the background. You've got like the Evil Queen. Like, you have all these like fairy tale creatures, and they're all just sort of like in the same world. They have a
huntsman, obviously.
The huntsman.
There's like weird fey creatures that appear. The little like little fairy guys.
You know why I think also you might not like this movie, and I was sort of disappointed because I heard tell that we were going to see some fucking goblins. How those goblins look, Ethan?
They're pretty bad.
Yeah, I think that's why you're disappointed. Because I bet you heard, you were like, a goblin's going to be in this movie? I can't wait
they
to
did
see.
Say, look, it's a goblin. I'm like,
ain't no goblin.
That ain't my goblin.
I fucking like knew that's what was going to happen.
It's like a big troll. They're like big trolls.
No,
like
they got to be green.
A little bigger than humans.
They got to be wearing potato sacks.
There's one specific way to make a goblin.
There is.
And if a goblin is bigger than that person, you've already failed. It has to be... half the size of a person, at least.
Has to be a tiny boy, big ears.
Big ears.
Yeah.
Crazy voice like this.
Yeah, exactly. Fucked up teeth.
Fucked up teeth.
Yeah,
loves
yeah.
money. Potentially loves money. Doesn't have to.
All right, now you're starting to get into a J.K. Rowling situation. I was trying to avoid it.
Were those goblins?
I don't know, but you're...
I can't remember.
Are they?
Oh, man.
Gringotts?
Right. Gringotts. I don't remember if those are goblins or not. I just remember...
What could have they have been?
That's a great question. Maybe they are goblins.
What is Gringotts?
I like the goblin. Actually, no, I take that back because it's also bad. But I feel like they have to be into like building shit.
Yeah, it's run entirely by goblins. Gringotts.
Those goblins look like shit. I will say they look more akin to a goblin than I was expecting in this movie.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair.
But they look like shit.
Yeah.
Still shitty goblins.
Still shitty. They're not green. We need green goblins.
We need green goblins.
They don't call them the green goblins.
Especially
for
ones
reason.
That don't look so Jewish. Okay? We need some less Jewish looking goblins. Just saying. Keep those stereotypes out of here. We want goblin stereotypes. Okay? We have enough horrible stereotypes in the real world.
Imagine like imagine you're like the director of a movie and they just keep bringing in goblins.
Show me another goblin.
Like, yeah. And it's like, make it less Jewish.
Make it less Jewish.
Less
come
Jewish,
on.
Please.
Make it more look like a goblin. Like, so this is what a goblin looks like. Take a look at yourself and what you think a goblin looks like and why you associate this look with a goblin. You need to look in yourself in the mirror a little
this
bit. Do a little reflection.
Because I feel like both people on that argument sound like think the other person is being like anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Like, the guy who drew it is like, I literally just drew a goblin. And the director's like, no, you drew a Jew guy.
No.
That's literally
sorry.
Woody Allen. And he just like looked down and it's just like a green little creature.
It's just a green Woody Allen. It's just a green Woody Allen. He's a goblin for a different reason.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's I think why you didn't like the
movie.
Yeah,
no, honestly, bad goblin design.
Very bad, yeah.
I like the fey design. I mean, even if you said the dwarves look kind of weird. They're like
the
a kind of
dwarves rocked. I actually thought the effects they did, I'm sure they did stuff like the Hobbit effects or whatever, but like I actually thought the effects of like little people next to like Chris Hemsworth or whatever, and Jessica Chastain, I thought those were really well done.
I was like, I had to Google, is Nick Frost a little guy?
No, he's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
so how'd they do that?
Honestly, I was kind of impressed by that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah. I think is like solid in the director category. Did a good job, director.
Yeah. I think visually the movie looks pretty good. Generally speaking, I do wish the art design. That's the thing is the art design is just a little too. It looks good, but it's a little too safe. You know what I mean?
I agree
like,
with
there's
you.
Nothing that's like really standing out to it. It just kind of feels generic. It probably doesn't help that the writing is also so generic, and everyone's just playing like basically stereotypes of like you were saying, specific fairy tales.
Yeah.
And it's just so tropey.
Yeah, that's very
true. Why don't you get into the plot a little bit?
Well, let me tell you. The movie opens. And it's like the Universal logo, and then the Earth turns into a giant golden mirror.
I do love that shit, though.
Oh, I fucking love it too, dude.
I hate that I like it.
I
it's
know,
like,
but it shakes it up a little bit.
Well, it's just, especially when you're like, you see so many indie movies, and they have like a million logos, and they're all boring as hell. I'm like, I want to see one I recognize,
and
make
then
it
I
clap,
to fuck it up.
And then I want
to
make it weird.
Yeah.
I
want
to make it in the style of the movie. I think that's cool. It's a fun little twist.
What's your favorite one that's immediately coming to mind?
Shit. I feel like there's one where it's the Universal. Is it the Universal logo and it like turns to sand or something? And it's like for one of the Mummy movies.
Yeah, that sounds
I feel
about
like,
right.
I feel like I've seen that somewhere and that's stuck in my brain.
The first one
wrong.
I think it turns into the sun and then it's it like turns into the sun and then it's the sun like that's behind like a Sphinx or something. I believe that's the first Mummy movie.
Yeah, that might be the first one.
My favorite is that coming to mind immediately is in the Flintstones movie when it's like Pangaea. It's the Universal logo,
oh,
and it's Pangea.
Yes, that was cool. I remember that one.
They even like incorporated in the joke where it's like you see the universe. I think it's called Universe Shell rather than Universal because everything's like changed to
caveman mode.
And then they cut to the Great Gazoo in his like little UFO, and he's like, "Did you just see those letters moving around that Earth?"
That's pretty good.
Anyway.
I love those.
I love it.
But so, you know what? Plus one for this
plus
movie
one.
So far.
I'm already turning Ethan into a lover of this film.
You're not going to sign up.
All right. So he says, Liam Neeson pops it and he goes, "What does the mirror show you?" And he basically just runs over what happened in that previous Snow White movie. But then he says, "There's another story you haven't seen that comes before Happily Ever After."
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, I'm in for a rough ride.
Yeah, that sounds rough as hell.
And then we cut to a chessboard.
That feels like the writer's pitch or the producer's pitch of this movie to the studio, being like, "What about beforehand?
Yeah.
We can get Kristen Stewart back, but there's plenty of
what
more
if we
work
around
her.
Kristen Stewart?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need her. There's other people in the movie that are definitely
Chris Hemsworth will be a lot cheaper than Kristen Stewart.
He's the cheaper
yet.
Chris.
Yeah. And probably the most talented Chris, right? I think he might be the most talented Chris. We got Chris Evans, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine's pretty
Chris
talented.
Chris Pine's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Chris Evans is... Nah, you're right. Yeah, I think it's those two kind of battling it out.
I just like... I love that Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans... not Chris Evans.
Chris Pine.
They love being little freaks.
I think that's the thing is, honestly, for a second, I was thinking about the D&D movie. And I was like, that was Chris Hemsworth. Like, no, it's Chris Pine.
It's Chris Pine.
But they had the same kind of like
vibe where
like,
they were willing...
just like cheesy white guy, you know?
Like, I was literally watching this movie and like halfway, and this is actually not, this is a point in the negative category. I was watching this movie and I'm like, man, remember when Chris Hemsworth was in Furiosa? And then I literally stopped watching the movie and pulled up a Furiosa scene with his character.
I forgot he was in that movie, to be honest.
He's so good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember him now. Yeah. He was good in it.
He's great.
He disappeared in that role.
Dementus, I think is the character's name is. Yeah. Anyway, so we cut to a chessboard and the pieces all look like butt plugs. And it's a king and queen and they're playing chess. And this is when we're introduced to the...
Can't wait to see what checkmate looks like there.
Slip it up your butt. Ravina is trying to flirt with the king. The king's like, "You're trying to distract me." And I'm like, imagine this guy, he's probably like a one day player. And then you're sitting across like a table from, what the hell's her name?
Charlize Theron. Who's also in,
she's not, I guess she kind of is, but she's not really in Furiosa.
She's in the other movie though.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. She's in the other Mad Max
But I was
movie.
Like, Anya Taylor-Joy is in Furiosa.
Yes, right,
yeah. And so, yeah, so she's like flirting with this guy. And I'm like, man, this guy, like, this must be a crazy day for him. And so then the queen takes the king. And as she wins the chess game, blood flows from the bottom of the chess piece. And the king falls over and dies.
That's a bad butt plug.
Yeah, it wasn't
bad
great.
Bad butt plug.
She put it in wrong.
Yeah. And
then she says, "You thought it was just a game." And I'm like, oh, this writing is already pretty bad. And it only gets worse. She controls the mirror and the kingdom, and her sister, Freya. Elsa.
Yeah,
Elsa's her
I'll
sister.
I'll accept that as well.
This isn't the first kingdom that they have taken, I wrote down. Apparently, this is like a thing that they do, where they just go from kingdom to kingdom, marry the king, and then take over it. Like, kill the king, and
damn,
then take over the kingdom.
These women, they're so
these
crazy.
These fucking women, can't trust them. But actually, here's the thing, is Elsa, at the very beginning, is actually a really good person. She believes in love.
Is that because she has a kid?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
And well, no, she is actually pregnant.
Okay.
And she's fallen in love with the guy.
Almost
she's
a
going
kid.
To have a kid.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
But she's also really good at chess. And she's like, "Sister, you always let me win." And she's like, "I've fallen in love with a guy in the court." And she's like, "Well, you know, that guy is engaged to another man or
another man.
The guy's engaged to another." And also, you're pregnant, girl. And she's like, Elsa's like, "I didn't know I was pregnant." And she doesn't have powers yet. And so her sister's like, "You got to be careful. You got to be patient. All women in our family end up having powers. Don't worry about it." And so then Elsa ends up giving birth. And
you're telling me this, and it feels like when I listen to a YouTuber reclaim like the hottest fantasy novel, and they're like, "This is terrible writing." That's what it feels like.
And it's going to get worse.
I'm excited.
So she gives birth. And after the baby is a few weeks old, she meets up with her like lover in the garden at night. And I'm like, you cannot be this fucking stupid.
Who's the lover? Who's playing the lover?
Just some guy.
Just some guy you don't recognize him.
Some guy I don't recognize. And I'm like, okay, so it's been established that Freya
Freya.
I'm going to say Elsa.
Just say Elsa.
It's been established that Elsa is good at chess and is like a really good strategist. And yet she gets a note from the man that she's had a baby with out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, checkmate, baby. You're with me forever.
To meet her privately in the middle of the night in some place that, you know, is private or whatever. I'm like, oh, he's just going to fucking kill you.
Why would you think that, Mike? They're in love.
So
you want to meet your lover in like in a secret night because it's sexy.
I will say that's not what happens. Like, but I'm like, you wouldn't be like the least bit suspicious about any of this. So she goes up to meet with him. And while she's waiting for him, she looks in the tower that the baby's being kept in and she sees a fire.
Ooh.
She goes to investigate and she sees her sister telling her to stop. And the crib with the baby in it is in flames and her lover covered in ash.
Oh, wow.
And her lover says, I had no choice. And so then she turns into Elsa. Her hair turns white and she freezes the guy, sending him falling into a million ice pieces onto the ground.
Damn.
She lets it go.
Damn.
And I was for a second like, oh, because Elsa's sister, Charlize Theron, was like, you can't trust him. He doesn't love you. He'll never wind up with you. I'm like, oh, she like used her like magical powers to like brainwash him to like killing the baby or something like that. Or like, you know, because he says like, I had no choice. But that's not, I mean, if that's what happens, it's never revealed in my half of the movie. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Anyway, so then Elsa goes north, raising an army instead of a child and conquering surrounding villages. One boy, who I'm guessing will grow up to be the huntsman, is taken prisoner and in a cage full of children.
Cool.
Elsa has turned farmlands into frozen wastelands, and she has become the Ice Queen because that's her power is ice.
It's just very funny where we're like, I'm going to turn these things that we use to live into ice fields, and it's like,
why
would you do that? That's a natural resource. You just fucked it.
How are you gonna like?
What's the benefit of this?
How are you gonna feed your army?
Yeah,
like
you
child
take,
soldiers.
You steal that. Oh,
yeah,
they all got otter pops and like snow cones.
No wonder they're so loyal to her.
Yeah.
So the children are taken in, brought to her, and she says that they are lucky because they will never feel suffering again. And she goes up to talk to this one crying boy, Tull. He's like a black guy.
Tull. Okay.
And
comes play
literally
there,
like the only black guy I think in the
movie. I guess, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And he's like, I miss my mom. And so she grabs his face and says, love is a lie, a trick cast on the foolish. And she says, there is only one rule in my kingdom. Do not love. It is a sin. And I'm like, okay, this is really fucking stupid.
Yep.
This is the stupidest
thing. I hate love.
I bring this up as well because Tull, for the rest of the movie, has like the scar on his cheek and his chin and stuff from when Elsa grabbed his face. And so if you ever see it in your half the movie, that's where it came from. And so she's turning these children, training them into fighters for her army, her huntsmen. We get a training montage. This one redhead is really good at archery, like Merida, I wrote down. Also, she has a fucking ceramic looking ice owl that hooks up to a VR headset.
Wait,
and she
what?
Can watch over everybody. Do you never see this?
No.
She has like this little mask that like looks like a VR headset or like one of those masks that women wear to
get
rid of
mask?
Aging.
Yeah.
And she but it's also covered in like feathers, and she puts it on her eyes so she can look through a ceramic looking ice owl that flies around and like spies on
people. Also,
like
those people do this with drones.
Yeah.
Where they like basically do that with
She's
drones
like the first flock camera.
Wow. That's off drone, but okay, go ahead, Mike.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know. It's okay.
All right.
Continue on. Continue on, Mike.
She's
okay.
Basically, this is the police state, and she's the
police.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's fair. Okay, I got you. I got
she
where you're coming
sees
from.
Eric and Sarah, who are the huntsman and the huntswoman,
ooh,
and can tell that they love each other. And so they grow into adults, and they're still flirting with each other. I'm like, she didn't fucking, like, nip this in the bud? What is she doing? And I wrote down, Sarah has a fucking Scottish accent. She's straight up Merida. This is embarrassing. The Scottish accent is bad. New children arrive. Tull has made marks, still has marks from where Elsa gripped his chin when he was a child. The kids are unloaded. Tull is cruel, but Eric is, do you want me to call him Eric or the huntsman? Or
call him Eric. All right. I put Eric on mine, I think.
Eric is gentle, coaxing children out rather than forcing them out. And he tells one kid, he's like, you gotta wear a scary face and never let the queen know what you're thinking and you'll be okay. So it's clear that even he is not loyal to Elsa, basically. Mm-hmm. So the child army, now grown, fight the king's wars, and they are always victorious. Eric and Sarah meet in the night. They kiss and caress each other, but they start their flirting with violence. And I was like, oh, this is an interesting choice because, like, they were raised in violence, basically. So they see violence as, like, a means...
to an end sort of thing.
Or a means of, like, communication, basically.
Sure.
So, like, literally the way that they begin their flirting is that she, like, pulls a knife on him. And then he, like, takes her, like, pushes her over and shit. And so it's, like, that's how they start their flirtation and then they start kissing and stuff. But I don't know. I thought it was, like, a cute little, like... I don't know. It's not even that good. I don't know what I'm saying. Either way, they bang in a hot spring.
Nice.
And she puts a necklace on him. It was her mother's necklace.
Oh.
And she says that she's marrying him and that they plan to escape. But that Elsa's ceramic owl is watching over them.
Okay.
So on the night that they're planning to escape, they are surrounded by the army, the child army, and Elsa. And they beg to be let go. And she says that they are weak. And she says if they want to go with each other, then they must first embrace each other. And once they embrace each other, then they'll be let go. Because she believes that the army is strong enough to keep them from each other. And also does not believe in true love because of what happened to her baby earlier.
Okay.
Following all this?
Sure. Okay. It seems a little silly, but okay.
It's massively silly. So they fight the army that they've trained with. And it seems that love will conquer all. Eric and Sarah do succeed. They end up basically beating up all their best friends that okay. they were raised with because they're the best fighters in the whole world.
And they're so in love.
And so then they go to embrace each other. And before they're able to touch each other, Elsa creates a giant ice wall in between the two of them.
Damn.
Basically cheating.
Cheating, yeah.
Keeping them from hugging each other. And then Eric on one side looks through the ice wall, tries to break through, and then sees that Sarah is stabbed by Tull and dies.
No.
And he's just like, no! He gets so upset. And
how she's still alive in my half.
Yeah,
interesting.
And it's funny because I was like, well, that's Jessica Chastain. They're not just gonna kill Jessica Chastain off within like the first like 10-20 minutes of the
That'd
movie.
Be bold.
That would be a bold move. But I was like, no, I was like, there's some fucking ice magic here. Where like, I bet they're both seeing two different like nightmares of like
oh,
what the
like,
other
this
person
is a vision
would do.
Of someone dying, and he just doesn't...
and she and like Elsa's the one creating it.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately clocked that shit, and that's what ends up happening. But fucking Sarah's pissed off about what she saw because she saw later on it's revealed.
She starts banging another lady.
She saw him run away, like leave him. And yeah, banging another lady. That'd be really funny. It's like immediately. It's like, what if like, it's also like, what if Elsa creates like really shitty looking AI, like, you know, versions of like the people and it's just like their faces get all like.
Oh, man, Elsa deepfaked me, bro.
Elsa deepfaked me. Elsa called me at 3 a.m. on my phone and deepfaked me. That's just a section of
YouTube. I can't believe she fucking nano bananaed me.
See, I don't even have TikTok. I know what you're referring to. The weird like AI cheating banana AI videos.
Nope, that's not all I'm referring
to. What are you talking about?
Nano banana is like Google's like thing that makes them generate images. It's like whatever they're like. Program.
Oh, is that what they're called?
It's called Nano Banana. Yeah.
Cool. Yep. Why is everything stupid? You know?
Everything new kind of sucks a lot.
Yeah. Why is it all dumb?
I don't know, man.
Whatever.
I don't know. It's too much to get into it.
Anyway.
It's a bonus podcast for later, I guess.
Yeah. Guys, you want to listen to two guys just rant about how shitty the world is?
Yeah, man. It sounds awesome. Feed me that.
Yeah. Anyway. So, I'm trying to like.
It's okay. You're thinking about Nana Banana too much. I get it.
I'm just like trying to like work through
that. You got the minions.
Eric's
minions on the mind. I get
Eric's.
It.
I got minions on the mind and minions on my money.
Most of you have the minions.
I got minions in different area codes.
And minions on your banana.
Oh God! Imagine like butt fucking a minion.
Do you think a Nano Banana is big or small?
Nano banana?
It's got to be small, right?
Nano implies small, right?
Yeah. Nano banana. Little banana.
Yeah. Micro banana.
Micro banana.
It's there's like a bunch of like cuck minions. Their dicks are in cages. Yeah. Anyway.
What is this podcast?
I don't know. Whatever.
I
was trying to get back on track.
Think
and
about
then you
Craig Mazin. Think about him.
Think Craig Mazin's ever thought about minions? Like he was
all
like ever had to have a conversation with his wife and he's like, babe, we got to pay for like the house.
Is Craig Mazin married? Continue on.
What if he isn't? What if he's just a fucking eligible bachelor?
We also assumed he's straight.
That's true. And he's written gay characters, so he might be gay.
He's from New York, so we don't know.
That's everyone knows.
Everyone knows in New York, it's a dice roll.
It's a dice roll, yeah. You throw a rock at you'll hit a gay guy, and then you'll get thrown in jail. Because Mabdani!
Fuck, it's like opposite Stonewall. Yeah, no, he's married and he has two kids.
But is he great, gay, or straight?
He's married to a woman. Could be bi.
He could be bi. You don't know.
You know.
Yeah.
Could we go? He's from New York.
He's from New York. You never know with these guys.
You never know.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. So.
I don't know. If you write a whole thing about Chernobyl, you're probably straight. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, yeah. There's no gay guys interested in Chernobyl.
That is not the that is not the energy a gay person would put towards, I don't think.
No, no. A gay guy's Chernobyl is like a really bad Broadway show. You know? Like a
exactly.
failed Broadway
But they
show.
Will say it so detailed. So yeah. They will get all the details right. And anytime they... diverge from the details and be like, well, this is the reason why it's your creative choice.
This is why we talked about Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark in this way.
yes
that's a gay man's Chernobyl.
Incredible.
Anyway, so Eric sees Sarah die and he gets really upset, and then he gets beat up and is tossed into a prison.
Imagine seeing your partner die and then you just get fucking like, now I'm gonna beat his ass, because also he's probably mad. So
he's probably upset about it. So then he gets thrown into a fucking freezing river because Elsa's like, fucking kill him. And then
freeze him over.
Toll just throws him in a river and doesn't check in on it. I'm like, just fucking like behead him. Like, why are you just tossing his body into a river? Like, make sure he's dead, because I obviously he needs to be alive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then at this point, we catch up to the events of the previous movie. And we see that Charlize Theron's kingdom falls at the hands of Snow White and the Huntsman 7 years later. And
oh, okay. So I see how you say this is a prequel sequel.
Yes. So now we're after the events of the movie.
Interesting.
You all caught up now?
Yeah, this is the most interesting thing I've heard so far about the movie.
All right. 7 years later, I wrote it. It feels like a Once Upon a Time episode. The magic mirror is being transported, and it tells the army that it's transporting it to kill each other. So they listen. Eric races after
I got confused by that second. So you'd say that the mirror says, hey, army, kill yourselves.
And then they listen to it.
Got it.
It basically, like, implants, like, it basically makes them all schizophrenic.
Cool.
And they're just like, I'm trying to kill you, in their heads. They're like, ah! And then they start just killing each other. So basically, the magic mirror is, like, implanting mental illness in people.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Canceled.
They need to just go outside.
They just need to touch grass.
They need to touch grass.
Yeah, they just need to go for a walk. Yep. Maybe drink plenty of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Eric races after a deer in the woods. You think he's trying to shoot the deer, but instead, he shoots a random guy in the leg, which leads to a fight, which he wins incredibly easily. And I wrote that, so I guess he's like Robin Hood now, because he steals a bunch of valuables from these people and their horse. Yep. And the guy says, he's like, I'm gonna tell the queen about you. And he says, who? And he says, I'm gonna tell Snow White. And he like he just laughs, because he's like, I'm not fucking worried, because I'm friends with Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
I just helped her out, I guessing, in a pinch in the previous movie, because we never saw Snow White, though.
Yeah, we never seen that movie. And also, apparently, so I was thinking, I was like, I looked it up real quick, because I'm like, is Chris Hemsworth's character a widower?
Hmm.
And he is. But I was thinking this was after the events of this movie.
Yes, it is.
But now I'm realizing that he's just thinking about the time she was fake killed.
Yes.
And he's just
and he believed it.
Yeah.
I wonder if he ends up like being in a romantic relationship with Snow White in that movie.
I don't know. It didn't look like it. It looked like they just became like
good friends.
They just high-fived each other, which is
honestly good for them. That's a good move.
I could be wrong. I mean, I'm just reading off a Wikipedia entry. So
Eric visits some kind of makeshift gravesite he's made for Sarah, and then an army approaches. We are introduced to Nyon, who's a dwarf from the previous movie, as well as his brother Griff. I hate Griff with a passion.
Okay, so Nyon is Nick Frost.
Yes, easy. Griff is the other guy.
Start with N. And Griff is the other guy.
Yeah. I don't like Griff.
I didn't like Griff.
Eric is told that
Griff
is
played by someone named Rob Brydon.
Yeah, he is like a talk show host on a British comedy panel show called Would I Lie to You? I've never thought he was funny. He's also in a bunch of movies called The Trip, I want to say, which are also not very good. And I've never found him funny.
He looks like Hugh Grant to me.
He kind of looks like a Hugh Grant. Yeah, like a more Hugh handsome Grant Hugh Grant.
Sure. Yeah. He was Sugar Daddy Ken in Barbie.
What?
That's what it says.
In the Barbie movie?
Yeah, he was Sugar Daddy Ken. I don't remember Sugar Daddy Ken.
I don't remember Sugar Daddy Ken at all. Mm. Well, anyway. So Eric is told that the mirror is missing, and Snow White has commanded Eric to find the mirror.
Okay.
He's also told that the mirror has made Snow White unwell. And so basically, they're like, if you really thought Snow White was a cool person, you would find the mirror for her so that she gets better, basically. Mm-hmm. So Eric tosses an axe. And then suddenly Eric tosses an axe and destroys Elsa's owl. because the owl was looking over him like a flock
take
camera.
Those flat cameras down. I see why you're getting the flock. I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Also, a flock is like, isn't like a flock of seagulls. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I think that was actually a pretty good joke.
It was a calling great it a drone. I apologize.
It's okay.
I apologize. I was stuck on the metaphor, the VR glasses.
The VR glasses.
I apologize.
And also flying.
I didn't mean to.
Which is not what a flock ever does. No. And he warns the Arby.
Yet.
He warns the Arby to guard the north from Elsa's Arby. Tull hands over the last crown of the Northern Territories to Elsa, who is pissed and asks him, like, hey, did you know that Eric was alive? And then Tull's like, no, I just threw him in a river. And I'm like, you idiot. Like, how did you not think he was going to survive that? He's the protagonist of the first movie.
So is Freya just not in the Snow White movie?
No.
That's so
in
weird.
Fact, I read that apparently Charlize Theron's character had a brother in the previous movie that was, it's never mentioned in this one.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is, Elsa's character is never mentioned.
Brother Finn.
Finn. Wolfheart.
Fucking Finn.
Mm-hmm. Finn, and all he does is scream, Ray! Anyway, so Eric and the two dwarves are on an adventure together. I wrote down, ugh. Griff is a stupid, loudmouth, idiot jerk. I hate him so much. Also, the makeup looks racist in a cloud atlas way, I wrote down. Perfect. They arrive in a forest, and they find an army that attacked themselves already dead. The mirror is missing, and one of the men near where the mirror used to be has a mysterious arrow on his back and a sword covered in spooky black liquid, which I'm assuming is like the blood of goblins or whatever. So Eric and the dwarves arrive in a tavern. Eric is looking for information Nyan, the other one,
Nick Frost
is just looking for fucking tail, bro. He's like I'm looking to pound some pussy. And so
it's funny considering the fact that he helped in the last movie, like, take down the queen.
I assume.
That's what it says in Wikipedia, from what I'm understanding.
Were there seven of them in the previous movie as well?
I did not look that part up. We'd have to watch. I can't look up everything, Mike.
I don't want you to.
No, we're going to have really some things of the mystery.
All right. Maybe one day we'll actually watch it.
Yeah, man. This definitely inspired me to watch it. Definitely inspired me to spend a nice 2 hours of my life watching a movie that I know is going to be pretty bad.
I really didn't enjoy how long this movie was.
So long.
So the two dwarves try to ingratiate themselves to Eric and the audience by mentioning how ugly female dwarves are.
Oh, yeah. They say, I got beards.
And they're like, dwarves usually mate in the dark and are drunk. And I'm like, okay, so here's where Craig Mazin's whole weird writing style starts to rear his ugly head again. Because I'm like, this feels a lot like sexual assault.
Any sexual assault, probably Craig Mazin.
I mean, just because, like, in all of the previous movies,
he was looking through all those Chernobyl files and was like, is there any sexual assault here I can make that's funny? Anything I can bring to light? Because this is a pretty grim series. All right, yeah, I got no jokes.
He was chopping at the bit. He's just like, where can I put in a rape joke in this Chernobyl series?
It's tough.
it's
like,
really tough.
Russian government, like, raping in front of people. It doesn't really work.
It just sucks because it's like, I know the reason this is there is so we as the audience start to care about these two characters. And if anything, it made me hate them more.
Yeah.
Then a bunch of guys walk in and they are huntsmen themselves. And so they all fight. Eric is defeated, and I wrote down that one of the dwarves got them in all this, the Nick Frost one, and I'm like, I don't like any of these dwarves. I don't want them to hang out with Eric anymore. The huntsmen are prepared to kill Eric, but then one gets shot with an arrow in his hand. A mysterious figure runs in from the darkness, and I wrote down, it's gotta be Sarah, right? And of course it is.
It's Sarah, yeah.
It is Sarah. The other huntsmen retreat. Sarah removes her mask, hits Eric in the head, knocking him out. Eric comes to, sitting by a fire with Sarah, and also the dwarves are, like, all tied up as well. And Nyan says, Nick Frost says, that she can't be his wife because she's dead. And then Sarah's like,
let me state the obvious thing.
And then Sarah's like, is that what you told everyone? And I'm like, first, I actually paused the movie in this moment. And I think this is when I watched Furious, because I was like, I swear to God, if Eric this entire time has been lying about his dead wife, I'm going to be so annoyed by that. Like, if it's like, he's like, well, in a manner of speaking, you died. Like, has he even been lying to the audience? But then, no. Because I was, at this point, I'm like, the obvious thing is, like, the ice wall was, like, an illusion.
Yeah.
And that's indeed what it was. The ice wall showed Freya, Freya made, showed Sarah, Eric running away, which was an illusion. And it showed Eric, Sarah dying, basically, okay. As we know. Sarah's like, you of all people should know that Tull would never kill me. And I'm like, why?
Because she's so fucking good at her job.
Is that what it is?
Well, they beat off all those people earlier. Don't laugh, Mike. Don't laugh, Mike. I heard what you said. When you said they were fighting all their friends.
Yeah.
They're beating them off.
Yeah. Sarah has been in Freya's dungeon for 7 years, and she just escaped. And I'm like, I love this kind of shit where they have to go like, well, why were you not in the previous movie?
I was in the dungeon, dude.
I've been in the dungeon for 7 years. I'm a great warrior. I'm awesome at sneaking around, and I've been in captivity for 7 whole years.
I've been using a spoon to escape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm like Andy Dufresne. Sarah holds a knife to Eric's neck, but doesn't kill him. I don't know why.
Because it's sexy.
Freya sits in her ice tower and makes ice cribs of baby cribs out of ice.
And I'm like, damn. I'm sorry. This is...
Yeah. And I'm like, that seems... Why would you do that?
That's so much.
I know.
That's so much like, oh, I have to show that I really care about my dead child. I'm going to make cribs of it. I'm like,
Why would you torture yourself this way? Guy brings her a VR headset for her to warg into the owl, and then she sees men racing somewhere, and she seems very happy, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. So now Sarah, Eric, and the two dwarves are all looking for the mirror. No horses, no tracks. Eric tries explaining to Sarah that they've been deceived, and she says, it doesn't matter. You'll just leave again. Love ends in betrayal. And I'm like, this is so stupid. Love, like, I truly despise this aspect where Sarah's like, I don't like you anymore, Eric. And I'm like, just fucking get together already. Like, I know where this is going.
Like, clearly he said I was deceived. Like, I saw you were dead. And then you never appeared again. So yeah. What do you think he's going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Give him some grace. But she's like, I'm going to be angry
the whole movie. So all four are caught in a dwarf maid trap because of fucking Griff, the worst dwarf. The lady dwarves caught them, Dorina and Brahmin?
Sure.
The lady dwarves. They cut them down so that Eric can give them info about a crazy-looking arrowhead with diamonds inside, because they want the diamonds inside. And the arrow is from goblins, who stole the mirror because they're greedy. So now the two lady dwarves want in so they can steal the goblins' gold.
That boy is too Jewish! You gotta get it out of there! Come on! Stealing mirrors?
I don't know about that
one.
It sounds like a Seinfeld bit. Have you ever seen these goblins in movies? Don't they look like me? No, Jerry, they
fucked
don't.
Up. I don't like it. Pick them green again. Make them green again. Make goblins green again.
I hate this. So anyway, so now...
Booga. Booga.
Booga. That's what goblins say when they jump out.
I'm going to put on my green hat that says Booga on it.
So this is the party now. We've got four dwarves, all of which I don't like, and Eric.
Nick Frost?
I do like Nick Frost, but I don't know, man. Like, it's not enough for him to hold it all up, you know? Also, I don't like the dwarves because...
Guilty by association.
Because they've set up this thing where, like, male dwarves don't like female dwarves. Mm. But I'm looking at these lady dwarves, I'm like, they're not, like, bad looking.
Well, they have to learn a lesson.
That women are pretty?
Yeah, it's kind of just a weird trope where they're just like, women are ugly as dwarves. I'm like, it's weird. What does it make sense?
They don't even
like,
look
that's like
how
would you ever reproduce then?
Yeah, well, in the dark and drunk.
But like,
I know.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, like, that's from an evolutionary, like, fucking biological standpoint.
I was like, they either have to go two ways, where it's like, these lady dwarves have to have, like, beards, like how lady dwarves are supposed to, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sort of like an androgyny sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Or they have to be, like, fucking supermodels.
That'd be great. That'd be so fucking funny.
And they're neither. They're just, I mean, they're pretty, but it's just
they look like, you know.
They look like normal women.
Look like normal dwarf women.
So it's more like, it feels less like a joke that they find them ugly, and more like mean
just
and
mean.
Cruel.
Yeah. Just like, we're taking a bunch of misogynists now.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly Griff, because that's the other thing. It's like Griff.
Griff's a red piller, dude.
Griff is a massive red pill. Yeah. And so, yeah, because like Griff. He's like, don't stay away from them, Nick Frost. But Nick Frost is getting along very well with the lady dwarf that he's with. You know, mm-hmm. It's clear that they're like, you know,
got a thing going.
They got something going on.
The red pill over here is like, no, bro,
no.
You'll get cucked.
Listen to Nick Fuentes. And
Nick Fuentes, not Nick Frost. 20 Nicks.
So they all paddle down a river together, and I wrote down, I'm pissed because I'm not going to be able to see the goblin.
No, you got off lucky not seeing the
goblins. I clearly did. Yeah.
Did you ever see what the goblins look like?
Never.
Look
up
what the goblins look like.
I don't know if they're going to have them on here, but I'm going to look them up anyway.
There's a fandom for this.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. This is how you get all the information.
No, not all of it. Website. I've mostly been looking at the Wikipedia entries because the fandom entries are just like, you want to, I don't have enough RAM for that. RAM's in a shortage right now. Can't run those.
Fair.
Anyway, so they're talking about like what they're going to do and they're going to go steal the mirror back. Mm-hmm. And they say, you guys can get as much loot as you can.
These are not goblins.
No, they look terrible.
These look really bad. Like they look almost like.
Describe them.
They look like aliens mixed with like chimpanzees.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
With like horns. They don't look like, they don't even have noses.
They kind of look like demons with the like edges sawed off.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, they're not really demonic.
Almost like Baphomet
like
or something.
Yeah, but they're kind of like more organic looking than
that. Biggest problem is they do not have noses, in my opinion. No, they need a good nose. The goblin needs a good nose. Not a big pointy one.
It's very specific.
Yeah.
Very specific long nose that kind of it goes with their mouth in a weird way.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So
just dancing around the sun.
Yep. Okay, so the huntsman is like, talking to Sarah, is like, hey. This Stick Frost guy, he's really got the hots of this other lady.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, what do you know about that? And there's little fae creatures running around. I don't know. Have you seen them in your half at all?
No, never.
They're just flying around. So they land on solid ground. And one of the dwarves picks up something from the ground and it glints. And I'm like, oh, that seems important. I don't know. So they walk over and they find some flint and steel on the ground and a bunch of dead guys. I'm like, goblins did this. Mm. Goblins are here.
There's
also a few dead goblins. They fought each other because they're so greedy. They love fighting each other for the mirror. But they find even more dead bodies. Mm. And they're like, oh, just like the queen's army. Because now I realize this is because the mirror probably told the goblins to kill themselves.
Yes.
So, but then a goblin king appears and he sniffs them. He's like, and he goes to like what one of the dwarves picked up. I thought this was going to be a bigger thing, but like, I guess she just picked up some shit off the ground and he just wants it.
Yeah.
And they're
he's
like,
greedy.
Yeah. So they're like, well, give me that. And then the huntsmen start fighting the goblins and the four dwarves like pick up the mirror and run off with it while keeping it kind of like under wraps. And
it's a big mirror.
It's
too.
A big mirror. So all four of them need to be there. So
it's like how would you describe it? Like a kitchen or like a picnic table.
It kind of is the size of a picnic table.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah.
And so the hunters fight the goblins. It's a pretty cool fight scene. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get done with the fighting, and then Sarah sees that Eric has a necklace still. She's like, "You have
he
a necklace?"
Kept it.
He's like, "I never taken it off." I'm like, "I don't know what that means."
Babe.
I don't know what that means. I don't know. I don't know the relationship.
Yeah, you didn't
I'm just
know.
Like, there's two people.
What
here.
If, yeah, if, what if she was looking gross?
Anyway, more goblin guys are here and they're surrounded. And they surround Eric. Everyone tries to escape. Eric's surrounded. He looks like he's going to fucking die. And they realize that the goblins are flammable. Like they're covered in like
soot?
I don't know if it's like soot or like tar or something like that.
That was on the whatchamacallit, the sword earlier was covered in like a black goo.
Apparently
so
it's flammable.
Got it.
So they
like. What, they like excrete that?
I don't know. Or maybe they like cover themselves in it to be like scary. I don't know.
Sounds racist to me.
Somehow they got to make the goblins a little problematic.
Even worse.
They're like,
yeah.
Like a little, we'll find one way.
Yeah.
Not what you think. We're turning on Ted.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't this crazy? Different racism. Yeah. Woohoo!
These goblins are in a blackface.
And it'll be their undoing, though. Don't you worry.
Yeah, exactly. They're still bad.
They're still bad. So what she does is Sarah like gets a arrow and lights it on fire. Mm. And the dwarves are like, don't miss. And she's like, I never miss.
She does.
And then she shoots. And all the bad guys just fucking explode around him.
You think that might also like hurt Eric?
Right? Well, that's the thing. She's like, oh my God, I think he's dead. But then he appears and then
he's so cool.
And he's like, oh, you weren't dead. And Sarah was crying.
Not a wet seat in the house. What do you think about Jessica Chastain's Scottish accent, by the way? I'm curious.
It's not great.
It's not great.
It doesn't feel right.
I feel like some of it is very much ADR'd. Like, I feel like some of it might be done in post.
I mean, most things are probably done in post.
Most are done in
post.
They're
like, we got to do a couple more takes of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chris Hemsworth is fine, but it is funny because he will very easily just fall into, like, the, like, Thor voice.
Yeah, he does. He kind of just does that, which is fair.
It's fine.
Do what you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in basically a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
like,
this is like a Marvel movie
with the edges sounded off and no MCU attached to it.
Right, yeah.
So the dwarves are flirting with each other. Nick Frost and his lady friend.
Let's give him something to dwarf
and
about.
I love how this movie looks. It looks very pretty. They're sitting in like a big forest. It's beautiful. And then Sarah and Eric have a little time alone. And she says, I have to love you. It's required. So I thought there was like a weird spell or something, but it seems like I have to love you because like I'm obligated to.
No. I don't know what that line means.
Maybe it's just like because bad you're writing. Alive now. And
oh,
so
maybe.
Like, I'm, like,
or maybe because she's married him.
Are they married?
Yeah, remember?
Okay, so
she gave him the
necklace. That's how they were married.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's required. But she's like, you need to let me go because I'm so much different from what you know me. And so I thought like maybe she died for real and then got resurrected.
Brought back. I think that would have been a cooler story.
Yeah, and then she's like, I'm a different person now. Yeah. But now she's just like, I'm a different person because I was in prison for 7 years. I'm like, that's a long time, but like, I don't know.
Andy Dufresne didn't change that much. Get busy living, get busy dying.
So she's like, the one you love is dead. Mm. I don't even remember what it's like to be her. But then Eric says the sexiest line ever. He says, we are worthy of each other. Because she's so turned on by that. He says the right words and they do that. The next day he's hearing voices in his head. They're like, kill for me. And I know what that was. I thought it was the mirror.
And I'm like, you're right, it was the mirror.
No, I thought it was the I don't know. I didn't know who the villain was in this movie. I thought it was like the super villain. I thought it was
I guess you haven't seen Elsa yet.
Huh? I haven't seen Elsa. Yeah. I thought on the poster it's Charlize Theron, so I thought she was doing this.
Yeah. It is very funny that Charlize Theron is on the poster. She's barely in this movie. Yeah.
And then Sarah's there and she's like, he goes, hey, have you been true about everything? You're lying to me.
He's paranoid.
He's getting paranoid. And then everything starts getting cold, and a huge army arrives. And the lady riding a polar bear lion thing arrives.
Supposed to be Elsa?
And it's Elsa. Yeah, Freya's there. And she's like,
riding a polar bear lion thing.
I don't know. It was a mix of those.
No, I know. I just love the description. Yeah, like, I've not seen this thing at all in my half of the movie. I just love how they're like, well, let's make a cool little creature for it to ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Find a creature because there's not much else going for.
Yeah.
True. So they're like, Eric, your queen has missed you. She's like, I knew stupid dwarves, and the dwarves call her a bitch. And then Freya freezes two of the dwarves. She freezes the lady dwarf and Nick
Frost.
No, not Nick Frost.
Nick Frost.
No, she does do Nick Frost. Yeah.
That makes
sense
name wise.
Yeah, because they want to keep the annoying one going, and he probably costs more money than the other one. So freezes the dwarves, and she says, you knew, Eric, that she, points to Sarah, would betray you, yet you still spared her. So it sounds like Sarah got released to try and trap Eric.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
She betrayed them.
That would make sense why
she suddenly got out.
She's out. But do you think she did that intentionally?
I think Freya might have done it intentionally.
I think Freya did it intentionally. I don't think that Sarah's working with Freya. I think Sarah thought she just like escaped, not that she.
That could be true. But then Freya says, "Sarah, kill Eric,"
and
she immediately, without hesitation, shoots an arrow right into his heart.
Oh no! And she never misses.
She never misses. And then they leave. They're like, "He's dead." They capture the dwarves.
This is a pretty good ending.
They run off. I know it's a great ending, but the two dwarves that are left, the two unfrozen dwarves. They pull out the arrow.
Which you were supposed to do.
Yeah. And he's like, oh! And she shot it right into his necklace that she knew was there.
Because she never misses.
And she never misses.
I was
going to
say
he
that,
says,
too.
I brought that up because it's important. Because he says, they're like, no, she shot you. She clearly hates you. It's like, betrays you. It's like, no, she never misses. I know she's on our side.
Yeah.
Then these weird little fae creatures come out of the woodwork and they have like little
we're gay
Mike, your script
is that what they say?
You got your script with Spider-Man Turn Out the Lights mixed up with this movie.
Oh shit. Again. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, sorry. No, they come out and they say,
we're gay.
Why don't you ride this reindeer?
One of them pop it like, I'm Pan.
It's just Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Throw them in here.
No. All fae, whenever they introduce themselves, they first start out with like what their sexual orientation is. I'm Ben. I'm gay. I'm straight.
We all bully him.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
Fuck this guy. Fucking loser.
He's still in the closet.
So then They basically are like, got these reindeers. Let's go. And Eric's like, let's go fight them. Get her back. She did betray me. And they're like, that sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So you say we're going to go fight an evil sorceress or an entire army, just the three of us? He's like, yeah. They're like, sounds crazy, but we're in.
Yeah. See, like, that feels like something right out of The Mummy or something, you know?
But like,
it's bad. It's not good. It's bad.
The Mummy doesn't look you in the eye and say, like, is this a bad idea? Let's do
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
It's just kind of like, it. When you, like, are planning the idea and you know it's a bad idea, I feel like it's less effective than, like, oh, shit, I'm in over my head, which
I think is
more realistic, where you're like, this will be great. This will work fine.
Well, to
and
me,
then you
feels...
go, oh, shit, which feels like more like The Mummy, while this feels like, is this going to be a bad idea? Ha, 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 ha.
I think the difference here, too, is, like, in The Mummy, they'll be like, there's literally only one, like, there's only one thing we can do. Like, this is the only thing that we can do in order to do this. No one's looking forward to it, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, it's like, you only have one bad idea? Let's do it, you bastard. And they're excited. And it's like, no, everyone should be like, I don't want to do this, but we have to because we want to save our friend.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, do we need to write a rickety old, I love how we're just immediately comparing it to The Mummy, but this is what I did. It's like, do we need to write a rickety old plane with the, you know, flown by a drunk old man? We have to, because we need to save Evelyn, you know?
Yeah, it's the only choice we have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas in this, it's just like, we're gonna save him. And it's like, you guys are a bunch of fucking
stupid
dwarves.
You didn't know she was
alive
for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, save all our friends and our dwarf friends and everything. Okay, so Freya asks, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And then I was like, oh, the mirror's gonna speak or something. And it's like, no, gold comes out the mirror. And it goes on the ground, and then it starts forming into a person. And that person, that turns into like a golden person, then starts becoming someone that's flesh and blood.
Who is it?
It's Charlize Theron. She's back,
what
baby!
What the fuck? I thought she was going to be in this movie.
Well, I know, because you're like, wow, she was dead.
Yeah.
How are they going to write this in? Well, she's like, Freya says, are you not dead? And then she says, yes. No. Something in between. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yes, no, maybe so.
Yes, no, contract says so.
Yes, no, I got the dough.
There you go. That's it right there. That's how they should have written it. Then she's like, I'll get my kingdom once more, and Snow White will kneel before me.
I can't wait to see her. Where is she?
Where is she?
She's just over there behind that wall.
She will beg for mercy, and then I'll tear her heart out. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. We attack tomorrow. And Freya's like, well, this is my kingdom. You just got here. Like, I conquered this whole place. She's like, oh, yes, of course, sister. I would never question my sister's
role. Giving Charlize Theron this cool, like,
she does not sound like that.
No, I love it. I keep doing it. I love
it. A better impression would be something like, yes, sister.
Yeah, yeah.
I would never disrespect you.
Yes. Everyone's doing that weird voice.
Everyone's doing that.
Yeah. And I hate it.
Yes. The dwarves try to sneak into like Freya's kingdom with as like children, but they get caught almost immediately, which I'm like, how? They're like little guys. Meanwhile, the huntsman's climbing a wall. The dwarves get caught. I'm like, they're fucked now. Nope, they just knock out the guard and they take his clothes.
Easy.
And they bury him in some chest like, or something. The huntsman falls really far off of the wall and lands on some like, I don't know, like buildings or something. And he just looks at the camera, this is the worst plan ever, isn't it? I'm like, man, what the fuck are we doing
having
here?
Fun, folks. It's a living.
He breaks in. The queen and Freya are there. And oh, no, she did. This is, I'm sorry. Before that, there's a moment that I have no idea what the fuck is going on. This is clear for someone who's seen the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
Some lady comes in while he's like breaking into the castle. And points an arrow at him, and she says, you don't remember me, do you? I'm Pippa.
I don't know who Pippa is.
And Pippa's like, oh, yeah. She's like, I know why you're here. And he's like, oh, cool.
And you don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to look up who
And then
Pippa
she never
is.
Appears again in
what
the whole
the
movie.
Fuck?
She just, like, appears as, like, a background character. Never really becomes
I'm
going to
look up
character.
Who Pippa is. Pippa?
Yeah. Freya says, we'll bring fear to everyone once again. We'll make everyone scared in the kingdom.
I don't know.
You're trying to look up who Pippa is?
Yeah, I'm like, who the fuck is Pippa?
It's Pippa, dude. P-I-P-P-A.
Yeah, I know how to I know Pippa is spelled.
We could have spelled P-I-P-A.
Oh, I suppose you're right.
I got double P's, bro. It's
got
three
double
P's
of
Pippa.
Pippa.
It's a Pippa violation. You don't spell it.
Young Pippa and old Pippa.
Wait, is there young Pippa somewhere?
There's a young Pippa and old Pippa in this movie. Oh, you know what I think? I think Pippa's not from the first movie. I think Pippa was...
Oh, on the training people?
Yes,
sure,
yes.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they get in there and they're doing a whole speech, but the huntsman decides to stop all that and shoot an arrow at Freya to kill her.
Sorry, I had IMDb up.
No, it's
I was
okay.
Playing
it's
a trailer.
Okay. It's all right. It's all right. Freya shot an arrow, or he shoots an arrow at Freya, but then the queen appears and stops it, and Eric's like, and then Sarah immediately, without a beat, who's like standing kind of the audience, like turns and tries immediately kill the queen, but she gets frozen in place. And they're like, Freya's like, why did you do this? But Charlize Theron is like, they're in love. They reek of it. Then they both get captured. And then...
Charlize Theron and Freya?
No. Freya's fine. Freya's like still cool in the queen's eyes. The real queen or whatever. No. The
huntsman
Eric
and
Sarah get
yeah,
captured.
I figured.
And the huntsman Eric is saying, love doesn't make me weak. It's what gives me strength.
I hate this. Now I'm starting to hate
this
movie.
Yes, Mike,
yeah.
You should. It's terrible.
That's bad. Mazed, you've done a bad job with this one.
Ice Queen gets up and walks up to Sarah while she's captured and goes, Ice Queen, I meant to say, what's her name? Rana or something like that?
Freya?
No, the other one. Charlize Theron. What's her character's
name? Oh, I don't know.
That's some hot
I'll look it up.
Charlize Theron says, like, pretty, you should know, huntsman. This is the line. While reading my notes again, while I was rewriting them, I laughed out loud because this line is so bad.
Ravina?
Ravina, yeah. Ravina says, pretty Sarah, you know, huntsman, love doesn't protect you from death. I should know. I was dead. I'm just like, what is going on?
Yeah, that's
bad. So they're
bad.
In the throne room, and they're in love. They're about ready to get their heads chopped off by the only black guy in the whole movie. I don't remember his name.
Toll?
Yes. And then he's going to do it, and instead he cuts their chains, and he says, I'm with you. And they all rally against the evil queen. But the evil queen, of course, is fucking powerful.
Yeah.
So she just spawns blue black goo everywhere and starts killing everyone in the throne room, just stabbing with this like Venom-style goo, killing people.
Venom?
It does look like Venom.
Better get him.
Venom is a much better movie, much more fun. People enjoy themselves in that movie, despite its large budget. Freya then builds a huge ice wall because her sister's killing everyone, and she has to like have a conversation, be like, "You can't kill everyone in my kingdom because this is my kingdom." Freya is like, "How did you make me so strong after all of this stuff? How did you make me so strong?" She's like, "Well, I pulled your weakness back. I basically killed your kid. I made that guy with his magic."
Fucking knew it!
Kill your baby, and then you got mad, and I turned you power on completely.
Macho, macho
fully
man.
Powerful.
I want to be a macho man.
Yep, and then we have like a flashback of like her holding the baby, and it's like, he'll grow more beautiful than even you. And she charms the guy and all that stuff.
Yeah. And that's why you said I had no choice.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. So flashback's over. Freya knows the truth that her sister is evil. She goes, I loved her. I loved you. And that's why I'm stronger than you. And then she tries fighting her sister, but then...
But she doesn't like love or whatever.
Exactly. Well, her sister shoots fucking spooky goo at Freya.
Spooky goo.
And then she's spooky. Like, leave my children alone. Because Freya's like, I like all these people here. Don't kill them. But then the ice barrier breaks down because all the stuff's going on. So the huntsmen try to rush in and start fighting people. Mm-hmm. But then Freya gives the queen a hug while freezing her. Because trying to kill her again, but then Freya gets stabbed in the stomach with spooky goo. It's spooky goo. I don't know what to call it.
Freya gets stabbed in the stomach with spooky goo.
And then she's like, I'm sorry I killed your daughter. Release the greatest power within you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the huntsmen start fighting with the queen while Freya's dying. And Freya freezes, sends a freezy like beam to the mirror. And the mirror gets frozen. And then the huntsman throws an axe at it. Eric throws an axe at it, shattering it, and as well, the evil queen gets shattered. Freya looks over and imagines herself with her baby, and she's like, I'm with my baby again. And then she dies. The huntsman and Sarah embrace, And Freya looks at her. Oh, sorry. Before she dies, excuse me. She says, "Look at how lucky you are." And then she dies. the dwarves get defrosted. And then Liam Neeson appears in the VO and says,
"He appears in the VO."
He appears audibly.
Sure.
"Once upon a time, there was a beautiful queen. Her heart was split in two. Even so, love survives. The little Nick Frost dwarf kisses the other lady, and then the other guy tries to kiss the other lady, but she's like, no, you're disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But then she kisses him as a little like treat because everyone wins, I guess.
Yay.
And then the narration says, nothing ever truly ends. And you see this golden bird flying around. And the credits roll. But then the credits, you see a golden bird fly and land next to someone. And that someone is Snow White. And then we get the real credits.
Is it actually...
It's the back of her head. So
of course it is.
Anyone.
Yeah,
anyone.
Yeah.
No likeness used here.
We see the same thing in the first half of the movie.
What was that? It's just being like, this is the first... Like, this is a recap of like what happened in
it
the
It was establishing that she was being made sick by the mirror, which was establishing why Eric needed to go through all these hoops in order to resolve it. Ethan, did you know that Craig Mazin has a Reddit account?
No. I'm sure he posts about The Last of Us a lot.
So 10 years ago, somebody asked, hey, who's this Craig Mazin guy, and why did he write the new Huntsman script?
He was like three people. Why'd they target him?
Yeah, they were like, because apparently he was on a podcast called Script Notes, where him and his friend were talking about like writing scripts, basically.
Sure.
And this guy was like, he's one of those guys who uses big words to make himself feel superior. And he makes statements that drive me nuts with how ignorant he sounds. His attacking a final draft to their face was so offensive. If they don't do what he wants, fuck off. There's plenty of other options. I thought they were behind the times, yes, but they justify blah, 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 blah. Basically, like, this guy takes umbrage with a lot of, like, him. And then they were like, anyhow, this week I reviewed The Huntsman Winter's War. I wanted to like it. The first one wasn't so bad. It has a great cast. I wanted him to finally make a good movie, Craig Mazin. So I could just let most of the above go and take him seriously. It didn't. And all of the above was confirmed and cemented. I would love to see the script, what it was actually like, and if anyone has it. Craig Mazin responds.
Oh, shit. The boy's out.
I have the script. No, you can't have it. I'm sorry you didn't like The Huntsman. I had a blast working on it, and it was exciting to write a new genre. It's okay that you don't take me seriously. I'm not a doctor or in the government. I work in movies.
The only two people, the only things you take
that you need to take seriously.
Doctors and governments.
Some points to clear up. One, I don't have a massively high opinion of myself. This is something my therapist could tell you more about if he weren't bound by privacy. Two, I'm not aware of using big words. I love words, and my vocabulary is my vocabulary. Three, if you don't need to earn a right to my... I don't need to earn a right to my opinions any more than you do. You say that I got a bit of a fun gig reviewing films for radio stations. I wouldn't dream of suggesting that your opinion is invalid because you're not a reviewer for one of the large daily newspapers. You could be reviewing movies for your family. Doesn't matter. You have an opinion. Sometimes I think people get upset with me, not because of the things I say or the movies I work on, but because other people are listening to things I say and going to see the movies I work on. That, my friend, is out of my control. I speak my mind. I work hard. I do the best I can. I try and I get better. And other people show up and they don't. So far, so good. Best and good luck to whatever you do.
Wow.
Craig Mazin.
Damn.
Yeah.
He's using those big words on him. I wish this movie had bigger words.
Honestly.
That's
yeah.
the thing. I'm like, I wish this had some big words in it. I wish this was like a smart movie that made me think. Not really.
No. But here's the thing is we can't hate it because Craig Mazin is like, look, man, I'm just making a living over here. I'm not a doctor. I'm not working in the government. I have a low opinion of myself, and I post on Reddit. It's a bad film. It's bad. It's a bad movie. And I don't know if I can even like chalk it up to Craig, but I mean, it sounds like...
I don't think so. It feels like...
But according to this, he's acting like he's like, I had a great time working on this
script. I'm
sure
he had a great time working on it. He probably had like three guys around him.
Yeah. Three guys around him?
I don't know. Maybe the lady. I didn't check the other names.
Yeah.
walking with them, having a great time, just looking at the goblins, seeing what they look like.
Yeah, I bet
he'd be hiding it final say on the goblins. Which
I don't think he had any control over any of that. He probably wrote down, like, goblin in potato sack, obviously.
Obviously.
And the director just ignored it.
Ugh, gross. Yeah. So generic. We're weird over here. How do we make them, like, demons?
Yeah, like, let's make them gross and disgusting and awful.
Flammable.
And flammable for some reason. But yeah, that's the Huntsman
that's
movie.
That's so funny.
And that's our
Well, is it Greg or is it Mason?
I'd say it's Craig. You like it's Mason? There's no way you think it's Mason.
No, I'm thinking it's... Have we given anything but Craigs?
I think it's a solid but the Craigs.
A solid Craig month. I don't think there's anything Mason about this guy.
No. Not these earlier scripts.
You know, I feel like his heart just wasn't in it. Mm. You know? I don't think so.
Like you said in that Reddit post I found, he was working in a new genre, you know?
He should have stayed in the lane he was smart and, like, knew a lot about.
I think that
would have helped.
Yeah. Comedy?
No!
Historical dramas?
Historical dramas,
that
apparently.
That he never actually released.
That he never, yeah, exactly. But yeah. I think I want to mention that, like, I think these are probably his worst
projects,
which are most of his work, unfortunately.
That's what the thing is, like, the other reason I think I wanted to examine this is because I was just curious about a guy who is now, I think, taken very seriously as a script writer. And it's like, I don't want to say you failed upwards because you wrote movies that made money, but it's like you wrote bad things and then all of a sudden you wrote one really good TV show that you've been working probably a decade on.
Yeah.
And now you're taking, like, now I'm sure there's classes to take in order to, like, analyze the work of Craig Mazin.
It's probably written somewhere.
Yeah. And I'm like, let's look back at some of the work he did for a living. Like, let's really, like, look in, like, peer in on some of this stuff. And I don't know, like, was any of it good?
Not really.
I think Identity Thief might be the best one, and that one was pretty bad.
I think he's just trying to work in a system, man.
Yeah, that's fair.
Trying to make some money. Like, he...
This
fair,
is working
we
a
watched,
day job.
It's true. We watched Hangover 3, right?
Yeah.
And Hangover 3, you couldn't really change Hangover 1,
right?
He did 1,
his best.
Right?
He did
you know,
his best.
You kind of have to be raunchy and blah, 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 and all that stuff. So whatever. Identity Thief is probably the one he had the most clear options to, like, write, right? Like, I felt like...
I think Identity Thief was completely written by him.
Yeah, though. Like, I feel like that one is probably where he could kind of go ham.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's why I think that one's maybe slightly better. I forgot what we watched last week. What did we watch last week? I forgot.
Last week we watched Senseless.
Yeah, we're not going to remember that movie.
That
was him just trying to get a fucking job.
That was him getting his foot in the door.
Also, the reason that movie was really bad was because of all the improv.
Because of the Weinsteins.
Yes, exactly. So that one I kind of chalk up. Like, I felt like...
But you can't just go like, oh, well, this guy just had a bad deal every single movie he ever worked on up until Chernobyl. I'm like, I think some of this is sometimes his fault, you know?
Sure. I think Identity Thief, again, I don't think it's a great movie.
No.
It's his best movie out of these four that we watched.
Yes.
But it's still bad. Mm-hmm. But at least it's bad in a way that's him.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right.
I can say it's 100% you. This is why bad. Like, you got some really interesting... You love... The jokes are all about the intricacies.
Yes.
And I think there's no better intricacy than the operations inside a nuclear power plant that I'm going to give you a gift here.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
A 4K version of Chernobyl.
The hell?
I figured, why not?
Dude!
Why not?
Well, thank you. He literally just handed me a 4K Ultra HD version of the miniseries Chernobyl. Something I was lambasting Ethan for not watching not 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
And now you hand this to me.
I was like, you know what?
This is very nice.
We watched it recently. We want to rewatch it again.
I want to rewatch it. I've been meaning to rewatch it. Behind the curtain featurette with the director.
Is Craig Mazin on that?
Casting crew, writer, executive producer Craig Mazin.
Oh,
what is Chernobyl?
Oh, shit.
Discuss the real life Chernobyl disaster. Is there any, like, commentary with them? I don't know. I'm about to look this up. Ethan.
Yeah.
This is a lovely surprise.
Of course.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Last week we talked a little
bit.
Happy
early birthday.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take it very much. You enjoyed this series quite a bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chernobyl's a good TV series. Yeah. I understand why Mazin's been given a new lease on life. One thing we haven't seen, which we were considering watching for the week, but we haven't, is Sheep Detectives.
One
day we will.
His newest film.
Yes.
I'm very curious about it.
That feels like him completely just
He's got complete control now.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he made a hit series that won an Emmy for best writing.
Yes.
You know, like, He's got cachet now. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. What would you like for him to cover next if you were to be like his manager?
Historical drama?
Anything. What do you think he'd be good at?
I think he's really good at procedural things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a way that Shin Godzilla was a very procedural thing about like how the inner workings of things go and how like governments kind of fail their people in natural disasters. I think you could do a cool like monster flick or something.
That would be cool.
That could be kind of interesting.
You mentioned like last week that he's going to do a new Pirates movie, or that he was like working on a new Pirates like franchise. I agree. I like the idea of him actually going back to his roots, doing something his own. I like a monster idea, like a Cloverfield or something.
Yeah, that could be cool.
I would really like him to do a similar thing where he like does some kind of like historical dramatization of something. But rather than it being like a big time thing, I want it to be kind of like either centered around movie making or like small time. Mm-hmm. So like either maybe like a disaster of like a film series that was made or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
That's a good idea. Like any sort of like financial disaster, almost like a BlackBerry type movie.
Like
or
a BlackBerry, like maybe the making of Waterworld, something like that. Like a movie that like was a financial flap or whatever. And like, you know,
I guess I wasn't thinking BlackBerry is not a movie, but something that's a flop. Yes.
Something like that. Or what I like for him to cover is like maybe like a dramatic comedic like retelling. I've always wanted to see something like this, and I think Craig Mazin would actually be really good at this. Like a dramatic retelling of the radio broadcast of the War of the Worlds when people thought it was real.
Oh, that would be pretty good.
And then you could like follow like a family or whatever that thinks it's real, and they're just like, ah, fucking aliens are coming.
Yeah.
And then you just see them like running around and being terrified at nothing. But like, I think that'd be a fun, like sort of like black comedy that he might be able to
do.
That could work. Dramatic and like be funny as well.
Kind of just, well, I mean, I haven't seen Chief Detectives.
I'm not Chief Detectives.
I kind of want him to stay away from comedy.
You think so? We'll see.
We'll see.
Guys, should we watch Sheep Detectives for the podcast? Email us. Email theohiopodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Discord, and we have a Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous Craig Mazin episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it's from you, Craig Mazin, and you're talking about how you go to therapy or whatever the fuck. I don't care.
Send us a Reddit email. Send it through your Reddit alias.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I kind of enjoyed this month.
It was like a fun month. I think there's something very fascinating about seeing someone's like work and
throughout their career.
Their history. I think honestly, here's the thing. We did we did Maze Month in May.
Yeah, right?
Where we followed an actor.
Yes.
Daniel Mays.
Yes. We've done Spielberg Month.
Yes. I think it's more fascinating to see someone in the writer's room.
I agree.
I think that's where you can kind of see a lot more. I think director's also interesting, but I don't think actor is that fun.
No, because
to be
there's
honest.
No control over what they're
not
doing.
Not really. They're kind of put in a role and they just have to deliver
especially
it.
When they're character actor.
Yeah.
That's a real gun for hire situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've done a lot of this whole year has been all about like examining specific roles. What's next? Editor?
Guys, if you have any recommendations, please let us know. I enjoy the idea of like piecing together an entire person's filmography that maybe isn't that well known, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like Craig Mazin.
Yeah.
Who knows him? Just some guys on Reddit who hate him.
Or maybe a guy who directed an entire series of young adult movies. Good night, everybody! 'd you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.